And I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Baruch Hashem. Happy post-Purim.
Happy post-Purim. And I heard there was a great party at the JCC.
It was absolutely beautiful.
I'm sorry I couldn't make it.
No? So we'll forgive you this time.
Yeah.
But it was really nice. We had a lot of people. There was a tremendous amount of kids, a lot of food, good atmosphere, music. It was beautiful. Really, really nice.
Very nice.
So now we're on to starting to plan. Already got to start planning for Pesach.
Yeah.
You know, but as Pesach comes along, maybe next week or the week after, we can start talking about Pesach. Because Pesach, there's so much to cover. Customs and laws and different foods and so on and so forth. So today
we'll do Parshat Ki Tisa.
Yes, absolutely. Just that everyone knows is that if anyone is interested in regards to a Pesach Seder, we do have the first night Pesach Seder like usual. It will be in the news and views and so on and so forth. So all the details are in that.
Yes, same with the Congregation Bethel. They have, I believe, the second Seder.
Well, that's beautiful. So we're... Windsor is covered.
Windsor is covered.
Very.
In Hebrew you say Windsor Mesuderet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so Parsha Kitisa, a fascinating, an amazing Parsha. You know, the people of Israel are told each to contribute exactly a half a shekel, half a silver coin to the sanctuary, and it's going to be... being used in the sanctuary to make the water basin, anointing oil, the incense, so on and so forth. And the rich don't give any more than the poor, and the poor don't give any less than the rich. Everyone, in this case, gives the exact equal amount.
Yeah.
And when Moses goes up to the mountain and does not return, the people make a golden calf, and they worship it, and God wants to destroy the nation, but Moses... interferes, and he says that, you know, if you're going to destroy the nation, erase me from your book. I do not want to have anything to do with it. And, at the end of the day, obviously God forgave the Jews for their sins, and he went up again and got the second set of tablets. Now, you know, the narrative of Ki Tisa, we can really divide into three parts. You know, you can have the conclusion of God's instruction to Moses regarding the making of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. The second one, the sin of the golden calf. And three, the granting of the second tablet. And what it says in the verse, in the Pasuk, is, and God spoke to Moses saying, when you raise the head of the children of Israel after they number, they shall give each as an atonement for his soul to God. They shall each give, you know, a half a shekel, and this will be as atonement for your soul. The half a shekel should be given by poor, by rich, each one giving an equal amount. And the pasuk says, "Zeh yitnu, this they shall give."
Yeah.
And God took a coin of fire from underneath his throne and showed it to Moses, saying, "Like this one they shall give." Now the obvious question is Moses was a holy man, he was a smart man. Why was it so difficult for Moses to understand about the half a shekel? That God needed to actually show him what the half a shekel was. Moses didn't understand that God said a half a shekel. I understand a half a shekel. Why did he have to show him? And even more so, is how does the coin of fire resolve this difficulty? Couldn't it just be in a regular coin? So obviously there's reason why it was in this way. And Moses, the answer is given, and these are the phenomenal lessons that we can learn, that Moses could not understand. How could a mere coin serve a person as a ransom for his soul to God? And God answered him by showing him a coin of fire. In other words, God was saying, when a person performs even a modest act of charity with the fire of passion and enthusiasm, he is indeed giving a piece of his soul. What God is trying to say, it is not just what we do, it is how we do it.
Exactly.
A coin of fire, if you think about it, equals enthusiasm, passion, fire, warmth. And everyone knows, money is fire. Because like fire, it can destroy and annihilate, or it can illuminate, warm, depending on how it is used.
Exactly, yeah.
And the effect of a mitzvah can transform coin, can transform physical aspects into fire, into spirituality. Because God transforms the spiritual into something material. He takes something spiritual, he creates the world, he takes something physical. The Jews, us, on the other hand, transform the material into something spiritual. So the mission of transforming the physical into something that's spiritual is a personal obligation. Every single person has that obligation. So now we understand why God is showing him a coin of fire. But why a half a coin? Why shouldn't there be a complete coin? Everyone gives a shekel. Why a half a shekel? So we go back to what the verse says. The verse says the rich shall not give more, and the poor should not give less.
Yeah.
That the rich and the poor are all equal in God's eyes. Now people differ in their, in their intellect, their character, their talent, in the quantity of their material resources, but all are equal. In the very basis of their bond with God, with this intrinsic commitment to Him that is and resides at the core of the soul. So while every man contributes to the making of the various components of the sanctuary, all gave equal. All gave equal of the silver of which its foundation was made. And so there might be used different amounts of money for the different aspects, the washing basin, and so on and so forth. But for the foundation, it was all being made of equal. As regards to the foundation of the relationship between man and God, the rich man cannot give more, and the poor man cannot give less. We are all equal. And this teaches us that no man is complete, and no man is a complete entity unto himself. When do you become a complete thing? Only by joining with another. With another person can a person become a whole thing. And a half a shekel is equal to 10 gerah. The Gemara brings down that, the Talmud brings down that a half a shekel is equal to 10 gerah, 10. It was a measurement at that period of time, equaling 10.
Yeah.
Which that equals the 10 soul powers. God only expects you to do your best, and He will do the rest. So in other words, by us being by ourselves, we cannot reach that level where we're all together, and we come together. That's when we reach the level. We have that foundation, and then each one later on can bring out and give their own attributes of intellect and character and their talents and giving more money and less money. But that can only be done when the foundation is first built, that poor and rich are equal in the eyes of God. Now, the second aspect of the Torah, of this Torah portion, talks about the golden calf, which is such a powerful lesson, is what I want to just bring out and conclude with that, is that when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, they made a golden calf. And the reason why they made a golden calf was because when Moses ascended onto the mountain, he said to them, after 40 days, in the first 6 hours of the day, I shall return.
Yeah.
They thought that the day of his ascent, that he, when he was going up, to be counted as one of the 40 days. Well, he meant, and he when he was saying it, he meant 40 full days, 24-hour days. And so therefore, the day that he went up should not have really been counted. So the day that he was going to come down was going to be the 17th day of Tammuz. But in came our great friend, the Satan, Satan, and he came in on the 16th day of Tammuz.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them, where is your teacher Moses? He has ascended on high. The fifth hour has come. But he's disregarded you. Where are you? Where is he? He's dead. But the Jews didn't want to believe it. They disagreed with him. So what did the Satan do? He showed them a vision of Moses, that he was dead. For this man Moses, who brought us up the land of Egypt, we know what has become of him. Aaron, please take him over. But they didn't want. They wanted something that can be a physical aspect, that they can see something.
Like a statue.
And they built a golden calf.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, God still forgave them. This shows us the incredible lesson and power of Teshuvah.
Yeah.
No matter how far that we've strayed, we can always come back home. Sin has the opportunity for return, for Teshuvah. Teshuvah is a process that in its ultimate form empowers us not only to transcend our failings, but also to redeem them. To literally, this is what God has given us the opportunity, to literally travel back in time and redefine the essential nature of a past deed, transforming it from evil to good. So regardless, you know, people say, ah, I'm too far gone, I have nothing to do with religion anymore, leave me alone, I sin all the time. There's always something you can come back. God always accepts us back. There's always a level of teshuvah. And that's what God was showing. One of the greatest sins in the world. But God still accepted us, still gave us teshuvah. And those are important lessons that we can apply to our everyday life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful parsha.
Absolutely.
And Rabbi, I wanted to thank you.
Thank you, and God willing, we will talk next week.
Next week, and we'll talk before, and we'll see when we start with discussing Passover.
Absolutely.
Shabbat Shalom.
Be well. Shabbat Shalom. Bye-bye.